So let's go to Acts chapter number 8 tonight. Book of Acts and chapter number 8 tonight. Acts chapter number 8. We've been examining soul winning, and we saw the Lord Jesus and some examples of how he was a soul winner, and so much to glean and so much more we can learn. I think it's interesting to just note that in every one of these instances, they're all unique. No one's the same. There's not a cookie cutter. We have to get to know people and minister to them. And it's an interesting study. And I want to look at a very interesting passage tonight in Acts chapter number 8. And here, we're going to start with Philip and God doing some great work in Samaria. And then we're introduced to this interesting character named Simon. And Peter, the apostle, will spend some time in ministering there with Simon. And so I want to look at this. Let's start reading in verse number 5, and we'll read down to verse number 24 to get the story tonight. All right, Acts chapter 8, verse number 5 says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon, and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which he has spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." This is an interesting passage of Scripture. This event took place, most people agree, somewhere around a couple years after the Lord ascended, 35 A.D. so. The church at Jerusalem had been persecuted. They had been scattered because of that persecution, which God used to take the gospel all over the world. Philip went to Samaria. He's preaching the gospel, and he's preaching Christ, and people are getting saved. People started getting saved, and that's what's going to happen when you start preaching the gospel. And so the gospel is being preached. People started getting saved, and the Bible says that joy came to the city. And when people start getting right with God, you can't help but joy follows that. Well, the church at Jerusalem hears about what's going on with Philip and the Samaritans, and so they send Peter and John to see and to examine what God is doing. I believe there's several reasons in this. They had been saved, these people that had believed and baptized, And I believe you see here a scriptural principle that in order for a church to be established, there must be authority. So the sending church, they send out authority there. But also, there's another thing that this transition stage, if you will, the Holy Ghost, Ephesians is very clear, the moment that we get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us, right? Now, during this time, this transition stage, we read in Book of Acts and with Pentecost and things, the Holy Ghost came down and filled the people. And then several different events, you'll read of this. And there's a reason for this, and I believe one of the great reasons, all right, was the teaching to the apostles and to the Jews in general that salvation and the gospel was not just for them. And they needed to see the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that indwelled them, came upon the Gentiles as well. And it was upon this report, when they would go back to Jerusalem and report, and they literally said what I just said, Peter stood up and said, the same Holy Spirit, you know, overcame them just as he did us. And it was evidence that God was saving the Gentile as well. And the same Holy Spirit, the Jew didn't have an advantage over them. They needed to be saved in the same way by the same God and were indwelled by the same Holy Spirit. And so this transition time, you would see that. That is not the case today. You don't need to pray for the Holy Spirit to come and indwell you. If you're saved, he indwells you. It's not a matter of how much of him you have. It's a matter of how much of you've surrendered to him. But Peter and Simon, they're there. And while they're there, Peter specifically begins to talk to Simon the sorcerer. Now, what do we know about this guy? Well, he was a demonic man. He makes a profession of faith there under the ministry of Philip. And Peter, he talks to him, and he's going to interact with him. And this is, some people can look at this as a controversial topic to discuss on was Simon saved or not. And everybody, I'm sure most people probably have an adamant stand. Oh, yes, I know. But, you know, if you take the time to read everybody and listen to everybody and read the Word of God, you know, there is room for discussion. I'll say that, all right? Did Simon get saved? Some people say, well, yes, because verse number 13 says Simon himself believed also. But then other people say no, because in verse number 20, Peter specifically says, thy money perish with thee. He was perishing. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And Peter said, you're perishing. And Peter went on to also say he was in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. And so, was he saved or not? It's an interesting discussion, and we're not going to open the floor tonight, all right? You say, where have you landed? I personally, and if, you know, you're like, oh, you're wrong. Okay, I don't really, it don't matter to me, all right? But I've landed, I don't believe he was saved. That is my personal thought. I think what you see in Simon's life, which is an important thing here, he saw he was losing his grip on all these people that he had complete control over. And so when he saw what they were getting into, he wanted to take part in that. And he wanted to kind of, you know, get into this with the people so he could still have this influence with the people. And I believe he really epitomizes some who are out there in the world today that like to try out church. Faith and repentance and church and Christianity and serving God is not something that you take a free sample of like at Costco. Yeah. You don't try it out to see if it, you know, if it's for you or not. It's about faith and commitment. And Simon, personally, I don't believe that's where he was. Even when Peter told him he needed to pray, Simon ain't praying. He asked Peter to pray for him, but he didn't want to pray. And he's still in the bond of iniquity. He was perishing. So that's where I land. And so that's how we're going to look at it tonight. We say, well, I don't agree with that. Okay, I don't really care. You don't need to come and argue tonight. I don't do whatever you want. All right, but that's where I stand. And I want to see this real quick tonight. Just glance at this with me if you would, all right? Let's look, same outline. Number one, the sinner is Simon here, all right? I see a couple things about this sinner, and I think he's unique. And no matter which way you want to go with it, it's fine. all right? But you still are going to see the same points, all right? So first of all, the sinner, I want you to notice, number one, he was powerful. This is a powerful man. And there are many people, I'm just blunt as I can, who will try the church thing because they see religion as a tool to get more power, a way to influence more people, a way, 2024, to network themselves. And they get into church and they start to, you know, try to reach other people. I say he was powerful in the fact that, number one, unfortunately, he was demonic. He was a demonic man. He used demonic magic, which every child of God should stay away from. People that followed him were filled with devils. Verse number 7, unclean spirits crying out with loud voices. He was a demonic man. He was a sorcerer. I mean, I don't need to describe anything else. The Bible says he was a sorcerer, right? That's wickedness. It's evil. Stay away from it, all right? And I know I always say it all the time, so I'm just going to say it again, all right? Don't watch movies filled with that junk. Don't watch fill your life with that kind of stuff, all right? Be careful, all right? You know, there's a reason. And the devil's a masterful liar and deceiver. You say, well, I only do the kid-friendly good stuff. There is no kid-friendly good magic. I'll go on. He was demonic. He also was a dignity. In verse number 9 says, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. He bewitched people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. And it wasn't just him talking. People saw him that way. Verse number 10, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. He was a powerful man in Samaria. Demonic activity, and he had convinced the people to listen to him, to follow him. He was a powerful man. He also made a profession. Verse number 13 says, Simon himself believed also. I could play either side of this, but it says he believed. But when you look at the fruit, I just don't see it. You say, well, why would that happen? Because I think he said he believed. I believe he said that. And Jesus said this very clearly, by their fruits you shall know them. Jesus said it very clearly. In the end, there'll be many who say, Lord, Lord, did not we do this, right? But the Lord says, sorry, I never knew you. And because there was absolutely no fruit of salvation in his life. You just don't find it. It was always about him. It was always about power. It was always about money. It was always about what he wanted, and he did nothing spiritual. There's zero fruit. Even when Peter said, you need to pray to God, he said, you pray for me. I mean, he just didn't do it. There's nothing there. And I believe he does, again, this is some people we're going to have to deal with. But there are some who are going to tell you. It always amazes me when people get saved. They go to work, how there's so many other people that have been saved forever that never took the time to ever mention it, but they're like, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian too. Well, what? You know, and they just come out of the woodworks, man. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm saved. You know, what church you go to? Well, I've not been in quite a while. And same guy that was cussing last week, all of a sudden they hear you got religion. And they, you know, and there's all kinds of people that will say these things. But when there's no fruit, it is what it is, right? God said that. And so we're going to deal with these type of people. The Bible covers everything, right? He's powerful. He had a profession, but I believe he was a pretender. I believe he did. The Bible says in verse 13, he continued with Philip. I believe he walked around. He walked with him. He listened to him. But Simon's faith throughout this entire passage, his faith is always based upon what he saw. He saw this happen. He saw that happen. And faith cometh by hearing. And I believe there's a big difference there. But Simon, he was there, all right? And he was, number four, perplexed. He didn't understand salvation. He did not understand a biblical salvation. In verse 18 to 20, when Simon saw the laying on of apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive it. All about him, all about power and in his mind. This, again, we know it wasn't this, but this was supernatural to him. Right. And he wanted some of this. There was no grace, no faith. It was all about money, power, his works. The gift of God is not purchased. The gift of God's not for sale. That's why it's called a gift. And all he wanted was this power. It was all about him and his personal gain, his popularity, his power, his prestige. And that's how he saw all of this, whatever Philip was preaching. So he was perplexed, he was off, he was confused, he was wrong, and he was profane. He was a lost man. Again, in my opinion, he had no fruit of salvation. His heart, verse 21, is very clear. His heart was not right with God. Peter said, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter." In what matter? The receiving of the Holy Ghost. Peter said, "You have no lot, no part in this matter." A saved person has a part in that matter. But Peter said, "You don't." And this man, I believe, his heart was not right with God. As Peter would tell him later, he was still in the bond of iniquity. And so here he is, all right? And the sinner, Simon. But let's look at the soul winner. How does Peter deal with him, all right? We'll see how he deals with Simon and how he ministers to him and tries to get his attention here. And then a couple things, I think, especially when you deal with people like this, people that all of a sudden say they're saved and they've never had any fruit whatsoever, no regard for God or anything like that, all right? And by the way, I want to pause and say this. In my opinion, all right, some people get all hung up on this passage and it's used to like get them to doubt their own salvation. Well, it says he believed, and if he wasn't saved, how would I address that? I would say this, all right? If you're here tonight and you want the Lord and you want to be saved and you believe in that, you're saved. Because the Bible says so. In my opinion, Simon is one who was rejecting God, but saying he wasn't. I've never met a person that says, "I just want to be saved so much. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that he rose again. I believe he's the only way of salvation. I believe this. I just want to be saved." If you believe that, the Bible says you are saved. Now, you have to make the choice to put your faith in that, but that's just, yeah, I believe that. Amen for that. You know, here's Simon, he said he believed. You say, "Well, how do we know?" Well, it's really simple. He never had any act of faith in the Lord. He never did anything spiritual. And it was all about him and all about his life. And he just said it. And I believe he's a good example of that. There are those kind of people that just, and we've had them here. I hate it, we have. People that just wanted to try it out to see if it fit them. I had someone look at me in the eye after spending 6+ months here. Then they disappeared. I went and saw them. I said, "You know, I've been missing you, man." He looked at me and said, "Well, I just want to try it out. It just didn't work." I was like, "Well, that's not salvation." You know, it's not, you don't try it on like a new suit to see if it fits good, all right? It's faith. But in any case, how did Peter address him? First of all, Peter was fearless, and I think that's important. It's really important. In fact, remember the sinner here, Simon? He was perplexed. He was profane. He was powerful. He was demonic, a dignity. But yet, Peter was fearless. Peter was not intimidated by this man. We do not need to be intimidated by a lost world. Nor do we need to be intimidated by a lost person. And he was not intimidated. He spoke the truth to this man. To this powerful man, he boldly told the truth. See, what did he tell him? Here's the truth. I've already said it, so I'm just giving it to you. In verse 21, he said, "You have no part or lot in this matter." You have no part. Verse number 2, he said, verse 21, "Your heart is not right." He said in verse 23, "You're in the gall of bitterness." It's poison. It's killing you. "You're in the bond of iniquity." You're trapped. You're imprisoned. Look, a child of God, you have a part in the Holy Spirit. A child of God, all right, when you get saved, your heart is made right with Him. A child of God is not dying and perishing in bitterness. A child of God is not still trapped. But this man was. But Peter told him the truth. He was fearless. He expressed that, all right? And I think the biggest thing that he said was that when he told him in verse number 20, your money perish with you. He was perishing. That's a pretty bold statement. And I only say it, I don't think Peter was being sarcastic. I don't think he was prideful. I don't think that he was like, "In your face, buddy." You know, I don't think that was it, all right? But he wasn't intimidated. He looked at him and said, "This is the truth." And when people are lost, don't be afraid to tell them that they're lost. In love, but tell them the truth. So you see, he was fearless, but also he was faithful. He was faithful. In verse 22, I love what he said. "Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Repent, that you might be forgiven. That is the message of salvation, man. Repent. Your sins may be forgiven. He told him the truth. And Peter was faithful in telling the truth. And so when we, as a soul winner, all right, we have to be fearless, all right? We have to tell the truth, no matter who it is, whether we're talking to somebody who's just sitting on the side of the road or if the President of the United States was sitting here, we have to speak it. You know, this morning, I guess, you know, I was visiting with Brother Sam Flores's mother, and I hope someday she's hoping to come one day. She's just her health didn't let her, but she's an interesting lady, and from the Philippines, and moved over here, and a neat story. And this lady, and she talked, and she's, for her age, she's doing so good. And I looked at her and I said, "I need to ask you a question before I leave." I said, "Do you know that you're going to heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior?" Now, there's a whole room full of people. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back at all. I'm just doing, that's just what we're supposed to do, right? No applause. It's, you know, it's like breathing. You're supposed to breathe. I asked that, you know, and the whole room got silent, and they all looked, right? And, you said, "Well, what if one of them got offended? Her soul's worth that." You know, what if they didn't like you asking? Their soul's worth that. You know, and I asked. Of course, she looked at me, big old smile on her face. She goes, "Oh," she goes, "praise the Lord. I know I'm going to heaven." She told me about her salvation and things, and it's a really interesting story there, a missionary and everything. But in any case, all right, you know, see, I had to ask. I couldn't leave without asking, right? And there was a part, yeah, there was a part of me that said, there's a lot of people in here. But I knew I'd have been disobeying God and unfaithful to the gospel if I wouldn't have asked. Sometimes we just have to be fearless, we have to be faithful and do what God's told us to do. The steps, same steps. I do not believe personally, right? I don't believe he got saved. I don't think that there was ever a change. Matter of fact, it's kind of interesting. If you want to do a little historical search, the Justin Martyr, a historian from that time, he writes that Simon the Sorcerer would go on. He even called him an antichrist and says that his writing is this, that he equates Simon as the founder of Gnosticism. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting study, but that's a man's writing, so who knows, right? But I do know this, that you see the same steps in Peter's dealings with them. Number one, there was a sowing. Peter perceived. He listened to Simon. He talked to Simon. And he shared some things with Simon. He was sowing. Philip obviously did that same thing. You say, what did Philip do wrong? Nothing. You know, I'm not about to point fingers because I'm just going to be really, really honest here. I've had people tell me they got saved and make professions. I have had people I've baptized myself that now want nothing to do with God. You say, well, did they get saved? That's between them and God. I cannot answer that other than tell you the same scriptures I just quoted, by their fruits ye shall know them, and I got lots of other verses, but this is real life. I mean, this happens. Somebody be around somebody and think this is something. We've even had people come to church for the purpose of, there's good girls at church. Literally, that's, you know. Yeah, exactly, right? And I said, yeah, come in the church. Yeah, and but they're nothing. They have no interest in salvation, and so be careful. but there was a sowing, and then was there hearing? Well, absolutely, he heard. There's no doubt about that. Right. All right, we know that he heard because he was right there, and then he saw all that God was doing. How the Holy Ghost came upon, and you know, he saw all that. He heard all that, and he knew that. Was there conviction? I don't see it. I'm sure the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart, but you see him not responding to any conviction. Peter said, you're still in the bond of iniquity, the gall of bitterness. And after he said that, it wasn't like Simon repented or anything. And even when Simon said, you need to pray, let's look at that verse real quick. I lost my place. Where is that? Verse 24, then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which he has spoken come upon me. Verse 23, Peter says, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Verse 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God. You need to pray. Nah. He didn't respond to that. I believe the Lord showed him some things, but he didn't respond. And because of that, you're not going to see repentance and faith. He totally ignored the instruction to pray to God. He just asked Peter to do it for him. And it just didn't happen. So therefore, there was no regeneration. Unlike Zacchaeus, when Zacchaeus got saved, he was a changed man. His whole life changed. Simon, nothing. Nothing at all. So, again, sometimes we will deal with people like this, that maybe are attempting to try out Christianity and sit in church a few weeks. But if there's no repentance and there's no faith, there is no salvation. And no matter where you land on this, the points are still true. And the fact is this, that Peter, he saw this, he perceived this, he's not right. And that can only happen from spending time with people. And if you get anything from this tonight, we've got to spend time with people. We've got to talk to them. We've got to listen to them. We've got to hear them. We've got to speak to them. And be fearless and faithful just like Peter was. Don't be intimidated. Just speak the truth. And share the truth in love. So let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, for this passage and a good study that we can make on it. And I pray that, Lord, you just please help us, Lord, tonight. And Lord, help us to be faithful and fearless in our soul winning. And Father, I just pray that, Lord, maybe you lay someone on our heart tonight that would fall under this category. Lord, they'll tell you all day that, sure, they believe, but they have no interest in God, they have no interest in the Lord, they have no conviction over sin, no desire